Article title: Peter Preaches the Simple Gospel. By David J. Stewart. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." I was reading the Holy Bible today and a truth jumped out at me from Acts chapter 10, verses 30 to 45, concerning the simplicity of the plan of salvation. I'll share what I learned with you in a moment, but first let me share with you the story of Cornelius. We read in Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2 read, that Cornelius was a military leader, a centurion over an Italian squad of 100 soldiers. Cornelius was a good man, but lost. Acts chapter 10, verse 2 read, "A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God alway." This is amazing. Here's an important man in the community, well respected, who fears God, prays, and gives much money to the poor and needy. Yet, Cornelius was not a born-again Christian, on his way to hell. My friend, no amount of religious devotion, involvement in your church, sincerity, or personal human effort, can get you to heaven. There are millions of people burning in hell this very moment, who spent their lives doing good, helping others, praying, fearing God, yet they failed to do the will of God concerning salvation. What is the will of God? I'm glad you asked, friend. John chapter 6, verse 40 reads, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This leads me to the heart of this article that I'm writing. In a vision, God appeared to Cornelius and told him to go see the Apostle Peter, so that Peter could witness the gospel to him. Here is the biblical account of the matter. Acts chapter 10, verses 30 to 45 read, "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and, behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Then Peter opened his mouth, and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him." The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews, and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, him God raised up the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. What I want you to notice, and this is my sermon, is the simple plan of salvation that the Apostle Peter gave to Cornelius. Remember, God sent Cornelius to go find Peter, so that he could learn how to be saved and go to heaven. Carefully notice, dear friend, that the Apostle Peter didn't tell Cornelius to follow Jesus. And he didn't tell Cornelius to surrender all to God. He didn't tell Cornelius to get water baptized. He didn't tell Cornelius to make Jesus his Lord. He didn't tell Cornelius to join a church. He didn't tell Cornelius to faithfully run the race. He didn't tell Cornelius to count the cost and pay the price. He didn't tell Cornelius to begin a relationship with Jesus. He didn't tell Cornelius to live a lifestyle of repentance. He didn't tell Cornelius to turn away from sin, nor even to be willing to turn away from sin. He didn't tell Cornelius to forsake a lifestyle of sin. He didn't tell Cornelius to publicly confess Christ. He didn't tell Cornelius to invite Jesus into his heart. He didn't tell Cornelius to start a relationship with Jesus. He didn't tell Cornelius to change his life. He didn't tell Cornelius to forsake the world. And he didn't tell Cornelius to follow Christ no matter what the cost. In fact, Peter didn't tell Cornelius to do anything. Peter simply told the wonderful story of Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing the sick, but the unbelieving Jews had him crucified by the Romans. Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Jesus bled and died on the cross. He was buried. And then 3 days later, Christ by a miracle of God supernaturally resurrected bodily from the dead. This is the gospel, that is, the good news, according to the Holy Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 read, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." In Acts chapter 10, verses 30 through 45, the Apostle Peter said that anyone who believes on the name of Jesus, he who died on the cross for our sins and raised up the third day, shall receive a pardon for their sins. That was the simple gospel message, which Cornelius quietly believed and was immediately saved. Amen. Praise God, that's good stuff. Peter never told Cornelius to do anything to be saved, he simply preached the gospel of Christ's death on the cross for our sins, his burial, and bodily resurrection the third day. The very moment that Cornelius believed, he was forever born again and saved. The hardest part about salvation for people to understand is that you get it by doing nothing of your own merit. You simply rest completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and then God does the saving. All of it. Every false religion in the world teaches a whole bunch of things that a person must do to get to heaven. But as we just heard for ourselves in the wonderful scriptures in Acts chapter 10, verses 30 through 45, Peter simply preached the truth of the gospel, and Cornelius believed and was instantly and forever born again and saved. Salvation is not doing your best, it is having Christ's best put to your account through receiving him by faith. God will not save anyone who is trying to be saved, he will only save those who are trusting to be saved. Religion is man trying to reach God through human effort, but Christianity is God trying to reach man by the sacrifice of his only begotten Son on the cross. He that believeth is not condemned. It has been truthfully said that there are only two types of religion in the world. Do and done. You either believe that you must do something to get into heaven, or else you believe that it is already done, that Christ has already paid for your sins with his precious blood. I believe it is done. I am solely trusting in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, because of what he did on Calvary's cross for me. Christ died, that's history. Christ died for me, that's salvation. The Bible interprets itself. Evangelist John R. Rice used to say that the best way to interpret the Bible is not to interpret the Bible. Where the Bible is silent, we should be silent. Don't put a question mark where God has put a period. You will find all sorts of additions and perversions to the simple plan of salvation in today's churches. Even most evangelical churches these days have been contaminated, because the devil has crept into them unawares with a false grace plus works plan of salvation. I love you in the Lord, friend, whoever you may be, and I don't want you to miss heaven and spend eternity burning in the lake of fire. God makes no exceptions. Jesus warned in John chapter 3, in verse 3, that except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you have to be born again. That is, having Jesus, who is from above, born in you, dear friend. Ye must be born again. This can only happen by faith in Jesus as your personal Savior. The blessed Savior is waiting. He wants to save you. All you need to do is get out of the way, stop trying to save yourself by your own good works, and simply rest in what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. It is that simple. Amen. I love this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 10, verses 30 through 45, because it plainly teaches that salvation is obtained by believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter simply told the good news, that is, the gospel, of Christ crucified on the cross for our sins, buried and physically risen 3 days later from the dead. When Cornelius believed, he was immediately saved. This is the childlike faith which brings eternal life. The way to be saved is not to do, but to believe. Some time ago an evangelist traveling was singing to himself the song, "I am redeemed." A fellow passenger, hearing, joined him in the song. After singing, the evangelist put the question to the stranger, "Have you been redeemed?" "Yes, praise the Lord," was the answer. "May I ask how long ago?" "Nearly 2,000 years ago." The astonished evangelist echoed in surprise, "2,000 years ago?" "Yes, sir," said his fellow passenger, "but I'm sorry to say it's not much more than a year that I have known it." So many people for whom Christ died are still unaware that the great redemptive act of our Lord was for them. While He died in behalf of all men, He only died instead for those who by faith have claimed it for themselves. The Bible refers to the gospel as the simplicity that is in Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." We find further evidence of the simplicity that is in Christ in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Here we read, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit, capital S, for Holy Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" When a person is saved, God's Holy Spirit comes inside to indwell that earthly body permanently. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the churches of Galatia, saying that he only wanted to know one thing: how did you become indwelt with the Holy Spirit? That is to say, how did you get saved, by works or faith? The correct answer is, by the hearing of faith. That is, if you believe the gospel when you hear it preached, you are saved, end of story. This is exactly what happened to Cornelius and many who were with him. They heard the gospel being preached, and they gladly received it, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't allow anyone to mislead you into following a false plan of salvation, because you will go to the lake of fire, hell, forever. Nearly every religion today, including many Baptist churches sad to say, are teaching the satanic lie that you cannot be saved unless you forsake sinful behavior, and surrender your life to live for Jesus. This heresy is commonly called Lordship Salvation. That is a false plan of salvation. That is human effort. That is not what the Bible teaches. As you heard earlier for yourself, Peter never asked Cornelius to do anything. That's right, nothing. God doesn't save those who are trying to be saved, but rather, those who are trusting to be saved. Salvation is receiving, not achieving. Salvation is a take proposition, not a give proposition. We are saved by completely resting in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 reads, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." The Bible is speaking about Jesus, who is our Sabbath today. In the Old Testament, God had instituted temporary ceremonial laws, which taught the Hebrews spiritual truths. God's command for men to work 6 days a week represents man attempting to merit eternal life through human effort. On the Sabbath day, which was a ceremonial law, no work was done, which taught that salvation is completely through God's righteousness. Salvation is pictured by men ceasing from their own works, and instead resting in God's righteousness on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was nailed to the cross. Today, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath day, because Jesus is our Sabbath in whom we rest for salvation. We are saved by resting in Christ, just as God Himself rested from His labors. In order to get to heaven, you simply need to believe that Jesus did it for you. The only work that we can do to be saved, is to believe on Jesus as our Savior. We do this by believing that Jesus is who He claimed to be. The Christ. John chapter 20, verse 31 reads, "But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." Believe the good news of Christ crucified, buried and risen. John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29 read, "Then said they unto Him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." There is absolutely nothing that we can do to save ourselves, or even help save ourselves. We are all dirty, filthy, sinners, in need of the Savior. Jesus paid our debt of sin. Christ paid a debt that He did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. Praise God, Jesus paid it all. If you receive the gospel as full payment for your sins, you are saved. This is such a beautiful passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 10, verses 30 through 45. The Apostle Peter never told Cornelius to do one thing to be saved. Peter never told Cornelius to turn away from sins, a popular heresy taught in today's apostate churches. In fact, Peter never mentioned the word repent to Cornelius. You won't find even one mention of the words repent or repentance in Acts chapter 10. Could the Bible be any clearer that the man who believes has also repented? I think not. Peter simply shared the amazing true story of the good news of Jesus Christ crucified on the cross, buried and bodily risen the third day from the dead. Cornelius believed the good news and he was instantly and forever saved. It is that simple to be saved, dear friend. For many of you, this truth has no doubt opened your eyes to the level of doctrinal corruption in today's churches. Anytime you hear someone telling you all the different things that you must do to be saved, you know they are deceived by Satan. Just believe and the work is done, dear friend. Salvation is not a reward for the righteous, it is a gift for the guilty. Salvation is not doing your best, it is having Christ's best put to your account through receiving Him by faith. And turning away from sinful ways would be a work. Faith puts all of the merit where it belongs, on the object of our faith, Jesus and His work. The proponents of Lordship salvation falsely teach that to repent means to forsake our sinful ways to be saved, but Jesus already paid for our sins by dying for them on the cross, so then what are we repenting from? It makes no sense. Since Christ has already paid for our sins, there is nothing to turn away from for the Christian believer, concerning salvation. The true gospel always points you to Christ, a false gospel always points to you. We must stay true to the simplicity of the gospel. Repentance regarding salvation is a change of mind, from unbelief to belief. In closing, I would like to read a quote from one of my favorite free grace gospel preachers, Pastor Curtis Hudson. Pastor Hudson states, "But we've so muddied the gospel, that when men want to make a decision to trust Christ, we've made it so complicated that they can't make a simple decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We'll say, if you don't do this or you don't do that or you haven't done that, you're not saved, but the truth of the matter is that when asked in the Bible, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' one clear simple answer was given to him, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.'" Pastor Curtis Hudson, a quote from the sermon titled, "Things That Are Different Are Not the Same," preached at South White Baptist Fellowship on October 3, 1994. The way of salvation is so simple. You and I are the sinner, and Jesus is the Savior. He died in your place on the cross. He who knew no sin, became as sin, so that we who knew no righteousness, could be made the righteousness of God through faith alone in Christ. God bless you, dear friend, and thank you for your time. Have a wonderful day.